As we gather on this morning, Sunday morning, in which we're grateful to be able to worship and in the household of faith, we welcome you. So good to see Linda Rourke with us from all the way down from Florida up here and visiting so many of the family who's here today. Welcome, and we're so glad that you're with us and we're able to see you again. God bless each and every one. Today we will celebrate a time of gathering after worship service, our church picnic. We're always looking forward to that, and I saw the food coming in and all that is prepared for that. So let us close in our worship. And so right after worship service this morning, we invite you to, if you're able to join with us, to join with us for our church picnic. Today is the last Sunday in which we'll begin worship service at 10:30. We'll move to 9:30 on next Sunday, all the way through to the last Sunday in August. So July and August, worship at 9:30. Today was also the last day for our adult Sunday schools, and we'll pick that up on September when the young people will gather for that as well. Our next Jenny's lunch will be July 10th at noon, and you'll notice the menu there before us. At Vacation Bible School, July 21st through the 25th, and please make note of that, and if you're able to join us for VBS, we will invite you to do so. I wonder if there's any other announcements we wish to make at this time. Yes, Craig.
There are a few, and I do mean few, copies of the July newsletter in the back. I suggest if you chance, take one, because Linda submitted an excellent article this month. It talks about church history and people who had attended our church before. If you or me, I don't know a lot of the names, but it is very, very interesting and puts a lot of foresight into the church. So if you're on the mailing list, you'll get it tomorrow.
Alrighty. And so please make note of the newsletter. And perhaps this, if you haven't received it and you would like to, receive the newsletter, let us know. We would love to include you on our mailing list regarding that. Not sure what happened with this mic here, but we'll have that repaired at a later time. We don't need to worry about that now with that. But please let us know. We'll be glad to. We can. We can do that. Another time. I wonder if there's any other announcements we wish to share. Seeing none, hearing none, our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us prepare for worship during this time of prayer. Join together, please, in the singing of our introit. Oh, worship the Lord.
Oh, worship the Lord in your beauty of holiness. Swear me,
sentences will come to us from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, and skip down to 6 through 14. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel.
And Elijah said to him, "Tarry here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." When he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you," so the two of them went down. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went, and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan.
Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted one side to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "I pray you, let me inherit a double share of your spirit." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be for you, but if you do not see me, it shall not be so."
And as they still went on and talked, behold, the chariot of fire and the horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elisha went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and his horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and rent them to pieces.
And he took up the mantle of Elijah and followed from him, and went back and stood on the bank of Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah and fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Excuse me. And he went and struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Let's continue our worship, please, with our first hymn of praise, hymn number 559, "I Sing the Power of God." I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas above, and built the lofty skies. Thank you. Please be seated. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he might have mercy upon them, and to our God, that he might abundantly pardon. Let us pray. Most holy and merciful Father, we acknowledge and confess before you our sinful nature, prone to evil and slow to do good, in all our shortcomings and offenses. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways and wasting your gifts and forgetting your love. But, O Lord, have mercy on us who are ashamed and sorry for all wherein we have displeased you. Teach us to hate our errors. Cleanse us from our secret faults and forgive our sins for the sake of your dear Son. Hear us as we spend a few moments in silent reflection and prayer. Hear us as we pray. And, O most holy and loving God, help us to live in your light and walk in your ways, according to the commandments of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And then hear the assurance of God's forgiveness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Beloved people of God, believe this good news, and let us live in the loving kindness of our God.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us affirm what we believe by reciting the Apostles' Creed, and that's in the inside of the bullet or the hymnal, if you, like me, like to look at the words. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and of life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Right now, our ministry of music, you're always there. Oh! They're saying if you're paying attention there, that's right. Right now, oh, Linda, that's right. Words of assurance right now. Well, Linda said, well, no. Get it right. Right now, our words of assurance will come to us from Psalm 16, verses 1 through 7. And while Craig is coming here, what our Lord Jesus Christ has said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and great commandment. The second one is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depends all of the law and all of the prophets. Amen.
This morning's reading is Psalm 16. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 479 in the blue Bible in front of you. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee I take refuge. I say to the Lord, thou art my Lord. I have no good apart from thee. As for the saints in the land, they are the noble, in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their libations of blood I will not pour out, or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. Thou holdest my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also dwells secure. For though thou dost not give me up to Sheol, or let thy godly one see the pit, thou dost show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures evermore.
This is the word of the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the seated. And so now is our ministry of music.
Thank you.
Our next hymn of praise will take us to hymn number 497, Near to the Heart of God. If you're able to stand with us, we invite you to do so at this time. God, thank you for this time we're able to gather for worship. Father, as we have sung, there is a place that's near to your heart, a place of sweet repose. And Father, part of that place is our worship, the songs we sing, the portions of scripture we read, the time we consider your word. Thank you, Father, for your word. We ask a blessing upon it and speak to us as only you can. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Our scripture lesson will come to us this morning from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 52, the title of our sermon, He Set His Face Toward the Others Among Us. Luke chapter 9. And when the days drew near for him to be received up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But the people would not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to bid fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them, and he went in on into another village. As they were going along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." But Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." We're going to consider those words in just a little bit that we've seen in verses 57 down through 62. I'd like to draw your attention to the first part of that paragraph we looked at when Jesus was setting his face to go to Jerusalem. And that phrase, setting his face, might not be something we're familiar with. We're familiar with phrases like, "I set my mind to do such and such." "I have a particular taste for something. I just set my tongue just to taste something. A little while, I've set my tongue to taste some of the food that's waiting for us downstairs. That which we're going to have cooking outside. I know in the summertime, like we have something this afternoon as well. We're all busy and going through. If you're able to stay with us, you're most welcome to do so. But what does "to set my face toward Jerusalem" mean? Well, back in those days, whenever they saw that phrase, they knew it meant that he was determined to go toward Jerusalem. And anyone who set their face toward Jerusalem knew that they were going to a place, particularly followers of Jesus, they were going to a place where they could lose their life. You see, unfortunately, back in those days, Jerusalem was known as a place that killed the prophets. And many have died and lost their lives. And so when Jesus said, "I've set my face to go to Jerusalem," he was saying, in a sense, "I know that I'm ready now to become the sacrifice for the sins of the world. I'm going to Jerusalem in order to die. I've set my face." That word "set my face" is the Greek word sterno. And it brings about the idea of setting fixed into a situation. I think about that when I see a commercial for glue. And they advertise, "This is the best type of glue you want to buy. All you have to do is take two pieces and put a little bit of glue there and put it together, and it will stick and it will never break away. That's firm. That's that type of glue." But that's the idea of this word, "set my face." I have fixed my determination to go to Jerusalem. Now, one of the things I find interesting in this task is we see two bouncers. You didn't know that Jesus had two bouncers, did you? Yeah, their names were James and John. They were always wanting to fight. And every now and then, as a matter of fact, their nickname was the Sons of Thunder. They were the muscle men, if you please. And as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, and he was setting his face to Jerusalem, the Bible says that the pathway that Jesus was going to take was through Samaria. Now, I won't go through all of the reasons for that, but it made sense. From where Jesus was, the straight line was through Samaria. Now, the problem with going to Samaria was some of the Jewish people didn't like the Samaritans, and the Samaritans didn't like the Jewish people. They were those other people. They were different. They had different ideology. They had a different religion. They had a different way of doing things. They were just different. And when Jesus said, "I'm going to go through to Jerusalem," and the people of Samaria heard that Jesus was passing by their way. Now, if Jesus went by and stayed, they probably wouldn't have a problem with it. But it's the fact that he was going to Jerusalem that got them all upset. They said, "No, we don't want him here. And James and John said, Jesus, do you think we can call far from heaven? You know, like Elijah did and saying to people, far from heaven. And I love Jesus' response. You know what the Bible tells us? Jesus said, oh no. Look down to verse number 54. And when the disciples, James and John, saw that, they said, Lord, do you want us to bid fire come down from heaven and consume them? But he, Jesus, turned and rebuked them. Rebuked who? Did he rebuke the Samaritans? Oh, no. He rebuked the bouncers, James and John. And the Bible says they went in another place. He said, we'll just take another route. I'm not going to destroy them just because they don't like me. I'm not going to destroy them just because they're different from us. I'm not going to destroy them. I'll just go somewhere else. And isn't that like our Jesus? He loves the other. And I'm so glad he loves the other, because if he had not loved the other, none of us would be saved. We all were the other at one point or another. Thank God for God's love. But I wanted to just bring our attention very quickly to verses 57 to 62. There are three words that I would like just to point out with these verses. And they're verses that describes someone's desire to follow Jesus. Notice with me, it is not that they found Jesus, and I hear people say that oftentimes, and I know what they mean when they say, I found the Lord. But theologically, that's incorrect. In this point, Jesus is never lost. He found us. He sought us when we were astray from him. He came to us. And notice these three individuals. We don't know what their names are. We do not necessarily know where they come from, except for perhaps in that area wherein Jesus was traveling. But the first one said, they came along and said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go, in verse 57. That's really nice, isn't it? That talks about faith. I want you to think about the word faith there, because of what Jesus said in response to that. Jesus said, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man. So when you follow the Lord, you follow him by faith. You just trust him as he goes from place to place. And that's what Jesus would do. Oftentimes in the Gospels, we will see Jesus will go from one place to the next. You'll never find a place except for where he was born in a manger. You'll never find a place that had his address on it. You know why? Because he was constantly traveling. He was going place to place. I love that one place that Jesus went, that Mark's gospel talks about. Mark chapter 6, and I believe it's verse 47, talks how that when the evening was come, Jesus and the disciples got into a boat, and they were fixing to cross over to some other side, and Jesus fell asleep. Jesus fell asleep. And he fell asleep when a storm was raging. And the storm was beating against the boat, and the storm was so severe, the Bible says the disciples began to be afraid. And they were thinking they were in trouble. And in Mark chapter 6 tells the story when they went to Jesus and woke Jesus up and said, don't you care that we're about to die? And Jesus said these words, take heart, verse 50 of that text, Mark chapter 6. But they all saw and were terrified when Jesus came back to them walking on the water in Mark chapter 6. And they were terrified, and Jesus said, take heart, for it is I, be not afraid. Even though Jesus has that way of calming our fears, Jesus has that way of are taking care of us, even in the midst of storms, even in the midst of difficulties that happen along the way. Faith says, I'm trusting that Jesus will do and take care of us as we travel and move along with him. The second word we see here in Luke chapter 9 and verse number 59, to another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. We see the word sacrifice. We see the word sacrifice. Sometimes you have to sacrifice one's own desire to follow the Lord. Now, it almost sounds like Jesus is being cruel here. If we didn't understand the backstory, remember when we mentioned the word set your face and it had a particular meaning to that phrase? Well, to bury the dead back in those days meant this. My loved one is sick and they're old, and one of these days they're going to die. And so I want to be there when they die. And I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know when that will occur. But one of these days it's going to happen. And so let me bury my dead just literally meant I'm just going to linger here for just a little while and wait for that death to happen. And what Jesus says is, when you follow me now. We don't know when the circumstances will happen. I'm certain when death will happen, Jesus will say, you can go and bury your dead and have a time of sadness and repose there. Certainly. But when we follow Jesus, sometimes that requires not only faith, trusting him and going along with him, but secondly, that might mean sacrifice. And that might have caused a sacrifice in our family. Another passage, Jesus said, if you do not hate father and mother and brother and sister, you cannot be a follower of me. Now again, here we hear those words, hate, and we think, well, Jesus, you want me to dislike my relative? No. That word hate means to dislike in the sense of you love Jesus more than you love someone else. That's the attitude there. That our devotion to Jesus must be so severe that it looks like a dislike for others. The last word we'd like to share as we close is found in verses 61 and 62. And another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me bid farewell to those at my home. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Once you start to serve, continue to serve. That talks about resolve. Resolve. I'm determined to continue on to serve the Lord. Now, it's going to be difficult. And many of us know when you serve the Lord and seek to want to follow him, you get challenges. You get misunderstood. Get others who say things and do things that cause the journey of faith to be difficult and bumpy along the way. But the resolve says, once I determine to follow the Lord, I'm going to keep on doing it. I'm going to keep on doing it. Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem, and there could have been a number of reasons why he stopped along the way. He could have been dissuaded by the Samaritans. He could have been dissuaded because he knew what would happen to him when he got there. He would die. He would go through all sorts of pain and discomfort. A number of things could have stopped him, but I'm so glad it didn't. And these gentlemen, these persons, said, I want to follow you. It takes faith, sometimes sacrifice, but always resolve to say, I'm going to go on and continue that journey. Father God, thank you for your word. And thank you, Father, that when you set your face toward the others, you invite us to influence our community, our world, showing a similar type of love that you gave. Help us to do precisely that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right now, we invite our ushers to come as we receive our tithes and our offerings. Father, we thank you and praise you for the opportunity to receive these gifts. We ask your blessing upon them in Christ's most holy name. Amen. Let us pass to peace. Hey, Doug. Especially when those of us that we haven't been able to see for a while because they have been away physically from us, Florida. It's so good to see Linda and family here, Mindy, and many, many others. God bless you. So good to see that. We'll have opportunity, if you're able to stay, to continue this time of gathering in just a moment or two. And yet before that, as we continue our worship in response to God, our joys and concerns, I wonder if there are prayer requests that you would wish us to remember as a community of faith. That I see Nancy's hand.
For Scott and Liz, she is in labor now, so hopefully everything will be fine with the baby, which is one. And also for Liz and her family, her mom passed away on Thursday. So it's been a really emotional time.
For some of us who had received the prayer chain item yesterday, and that was for Liz, that Nancy is talking about now. She's in labor now for her child, and continue to pray because there's some physical concerns regarding the baby. And then also, I don't think I mentioned this in the prayer chain regarding the death of Liz's mother, who died. I didn't realize it was that soon of a death. So if we could remember Liz and Scott during this time. I wonder if there's other prayer requests. Yes, ma'am.
For Owen and Bree.
Owen and Bree.
Yep, God knows.
Yes, indeed. And we're so grateful our God knows. Sometimes we aren't able and should not mention why we're praying for someone. And we need not worry about that, because our God knows all and He sees all. And so what we normally say is unspoken. So you'll hear me say that. And that's what I mean when I'm saying that. It's unspoken to us, but it's spoken loudly and clearly to God. I wonder, are there any others? We call this time Joys and Concerns. I like to share a joy that I'm hearing. I don't want to embarrass anyone at all, but I love to hear the sounds of the young. I really do. And I know in some places we try to put them in somewhere else and in a place where we can't hear them. I'm glad we can hear them. Because when we hear those young voices, they are receiving the word. They hear it, and it's been settled in their heart. And they are receiving the time. So, and they're worshiping with us. How wonderful that is. And so I just love to hear that. I really do. Now, I didn't really say that a lot when my boys were young, because we always get, oh, can't you quiet your kid down? And, oh, yeah, being preacher's kid is horrible. If you just can't believe without someone saying something to you. But I love to hear the sounds. I really do. All right. Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Good and gracious God, thank you for the opportunity of continual worship. A moment ago, when we had our joys and concerns, or I'm sorry, when we were passing the peace, it was so good just to see people going back and forth and talking. What a joy that is. There's so much trouble in this old world. There's so much heartache and sadness and brokenness that is refreshing to see the other side. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Holy Father, that as we lift our eyes toward the heavens and cry out to you, that we can bring all sorts of prayer requests to you. And we will mention Scott and Liz at this hour, this moment. Liz is in labor now, expecting to deliver her child. And Father, there's some concerns there, but you are there. And I pray, Holy Father, that this child will enter into this world without physical challenges. And I pray also for Liz, that you will strengthen her body. Father, be with her soul and her heart. And she mourns her mother's death and yet becomes a mother herself, if this is her first child, becomes a mother herself. And so we remember her at this hour. Father, I pray for Owen and Bree. You know the need. You know the unspoken request. Father, we place them into your capable hands of grace and love. Father, I pray also for many who suffer from whatever their sufferings might be. It may be a physical suffering. Some are here, not feeling well physically, but they're here. And while we may not mention to others and we may not broadcast it, we're here. And we remember them today. We pray, Father, for some who are not able to leave where they are because they are in a hospital or living facility and are unable to ambulate and to get around. Holy Father, we remember these as well. We pray for the hungry, the suffering, the lost, the discouraged, the depressed. Father, we remember many who will gather to celebrate happy times. And we're thankful for those celebration of birthdays and graduation celebrations and family gathering and coming and visiting and all the rest. We thank you for those joyful moments as well. And as we spend a few moments in silent prayer, we ask, Holy Father, that you will hear our prayers. And we remember the words you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory and the power of glory forever. Amen. As we take our hymnals, please, and turn to our last hymn of praise, I neglected to mention, I believe we're having the food for the picnic downstairs. And so if you want to eat outside, that's fine, it's beautiful, but we'll have the food and we'll have seating downstairs as well on today. Let's join together as we sing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.